Hardcore wah going on there, that's right. Sure. That got Shaft feel.
Very much so. Deacon Herald. Say your prayers.
What's the thing that, that's like a, not, what is that thing? That's I know what it is. I mean, I can see it in my mind. What's it called?
Which one?
Let's make that noise.
Oh, from like from Crazy Train. I never can remember the percussion instrument.
Yeah. I have a picture of it in my mind. I just can't remember what it's called. But that's cool.
It is. Oh, a vibra slap. That's what. Yeah.
A vibra slap. Yeah, I never would have guessed that.
Which is also on. Is it Sweet Emotion?
I think so. Yeah.
And the second or third time that he hits it in the intro, it breaks, and they left it on the recording.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you can actually, if you listen to it, next time you listen to it, you'll hear it break and fall to the floor, and they're like, oh, well. Keep going, boys.
I love when those happy mistakes happen on an album. They keep it in there.
Right.
That little mistakes and stuff like that. Like Van Halen, the early Van Halen albums were like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there was a section where David Lee starts to come in. He comes in too early.
Yeah.
So he stops himself. And they just left it in there. And so he comes in at the right time the second time around. I'm like, oh, that's so cool they kept that in there.
Well, and I don't know if you remember the Jump video. There's a scene when they shot the video that Dave turns and looks at the camera and just kind of like opens his mouth. It looks like he says something.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Later they went back and overdubbed Dave going, whoa! Because it just looked weird to have him look at the camera, open his mouth, and no Dave-ism to pop out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's him, though.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah. But it's a nice summer vibe, this kind of Shaft kind of music here.
You're at the beach, windows down, go get some ice cream.
Yep, you know, with your bell bombs and your, like, oversized shades, you know, those Barbra Streisand shades.
I could go for the oversized shades. I don't know about the bell bottoms.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm Deacon Halberg, series listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we have a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're going to be walking through the lyrics for Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John. You know, great song. So if you have some experience with this song, some memories, but more so, if you, like I said, sorry seems to be the hardest word. If it's been hard for you to say you're sorry, to forgive, to ask forgiveness, you know, we'd love to hear from you today. Maybe this song helped you through a difficult time. Maybe this, you know, again, the secular song, but sometimes songs like this, you know, in the lyrics, they move you, you know, in a spiritual place. Not meant to be a spiritual encounter, but, like, you know, the Lord uses these types of even secular music, secular encounters. We talked about this the other day, you know, in order to meet him, you know, or he meets us where we are. So I'd love to hear from you today. Speaking of Truth playlist episode, sorry seems to be the hardest word. Would love to hear from you times that you found it hard to say you're sorry or to seek forgiveness yourself. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we're adding to our reading material for the summer, and Victims of the Revolution is available in the religious catalog. All you got to do is go to EWTNRC.com. It's literally from Nathaniel Blake about how sexual liberation has hurt us all. So we find out the proof that is behind the question of right or wrong, questioning all the things that Christian sexual ethics sometimes can put us at odds with one another, but really learning a better way to love and live our lives in our faith. So find out more with Victims of the Revolution when you go to EWTNRC.com.
All right. Very good. So today we're talking again, the Beacon of Truth playlist episode, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John. Would love to hear your experience either with this song or times that you found it hard to say that you're sorry, hard to forgive someone or ask for forgiveness. We'd love to hear about your experience as we walk through this song. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So this was a song, of course, written by Elton John, and the lyrics by Bernie Taupin. I mean, that was the songwriting duo, you know, those two amazing songs during their working career together. It was recorded by Elton John and released again back in 1976, you know, and both as a single and part of the Blue Moves album by Elton John. It's obviously a ballad about a romantic relationship that's falling apart, you know, and so many of us have been there. Either friendships, relationships. Look, even sometimes with parents and kids, you know, that relationship kind of falls apart. Jesus talks about that. He doesn't shy away from it at all, you know. When they asked Bernie Taupin, who wrote the lyrics to this song, he says a pretty simple idea, but one that I think that everyone can relate to at one point or another in their life. And that is so true. You know, he says the whole idealistic feeling people get when they want to save something from dying, when they basically know deep down inside that it's already dead, you know. But here's the thing. See, that comment is obviously a very secular kind of perspective. But the thing is, you know, we as Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that there's always hope for every single person. You know, maybe not hope to have the relationship with that person that you wanted, but we have to pray for the person, even the person that hurt us. You know, I think that's important to remember as we walk through the song.
Yeah, and anybody who knows anything of Elton's story or have seen the movie Rocket Man, like Bernie learning Elton's past and the fact that he came from pretty much an absentee father, verbally abusive mother, a very loving grandmother, but in that, music was his go-to. So as Bernie continued to write songs for the two of them, he told Elton's story through this. But after 76, they had really been kind of in the whirlwind of the eye of the music industry and, you know, had taken it by storm and really had a great run there for those first few albums. But I think we all know what it's like to ask. And the song starts this way, if you haven't heard it in a while, what have I got to do to make you love me? I mean, that's childhood hurt. That's, you know, marriage hurt. That's, you know, breakups, you know, friendships that are gone. Like, who do I have to be to get you to accept me for who I am, where I am, and what have I done to make you not love me that way? And and Bernie's right. Like, it really is the quintessential thing that I think really can bring us more together. I feel like we're more together in our heartbreaks than we are in our successful relationships. Because you talk about, well, I'm married to my best friend and it's great and 30 years. And not a lot of people probably on one hand could probably sit in a circle with you and go, yeah, it's been just like that for us. That's very slim pickings. And I think the more that we realize in our hurt that we can come together in our faith and with each other, that brings us in that circle and community we've been longing for.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love that. What do I have to do to make you love me? Sometimes in our relationship with God, we feel that way. Sometimes we feel abandoned. Sometimes we feel that we don't feel God's presence in our lives. Sometimes we look at the chaos that's going on in our lives. We're like, where are you, God, right now? Like, you know, we don't feel loved. And when we don't feel loved, obviously we don't feel like loving. You know, what do I have to do to make you care? You know, and sometimes in relationships, you're the one that's giving, 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 and not getting anything in return. You know, like, what else can I do right now to actually, like, have you even care about the fact that I exist?
Yeah.
You know, that's powerful. And you know, what do I have to do when lightning strikes me? That look at the imagery there. It's just it's powerful imagery. And awake to find that you're not there. You know, and so many times people wake up every day with chronic pain or with mental illness and different things like that. And, you know, and they're asking themselves every day, like, Lord, where are you right now? Where are you in my pain? Where are you in my hurt? Where are you in my broken relationship? You know, and so, you know, I think the human heart is longing for healing. And these are just the questions that our heart asks when we're in that situation.
Yeah. Well, and if we were to take all of our playlist additions and create an actual playlist of these back-to-back songs, it's about being seen. We talk about this time and time again of that I don't feel like I'm seen, that people don't hear me, they don't take the time to listen, or they don't take the time to even have empathy enough to understand what I'm going through, even if they've never been through anything like it. So a lot of times it's people calling in to a radio show or, going and sitting in a confessional to finally feel like someone is taking time to just hear where they're at.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's a different song. It's one we won't do on the playlist for sure. Chop Suey, by System of a Down. And there's the kind of the climax of that song is like toward the end. And it's very interesting because when they were in the studio, they're trying to find something to fill this kind of dramatic climax at the end of the song. They couldn't find any lyrics. They were having, blocks,
yeah,
a mental block. And so the producer said, just look, grab a book off a shelf. It doesn't matter. Just find a book and open it, whatever page you land on. That, just use that, let that be kind of an inspiration. And so literally he just goes up, he grabs a book off the shelf, happens to be the Bible. He opens up this and he just flips it open and points. It's Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? And they use that. And that is a dramatic high part point of the song. Why have you forsaken me? In my eyes forsaken me? In my thoughts forsaken me? In my heart forsaken me? And that reminded me, that song was reminding me of here of Elton John's song, asking these same kind of questions, like the sense of loneliness and abandonment and fear and trepidation that we place on the Lord, mm-hmm. Because ultimately someone has to be responsible.
Yeah.
In our mind, we said, someone has to be responsible for making me feel this way. And, God has big shoulders. You just blame him.
Yeah. And until you're in a place where you understand what the sound of God's voice is in your life and in your heart, it's you think he's abandoned you. You think he's not there when he is trying to reach you. And as we've talked about, he'll use secular songs. He'll use a movie quote. He'll use a passing, stranger in the grocery aisle, whatever he needs to do. And then when we see it full picture, we go, oh, he's been talking to me since 76. It takes you back. Yeah. And you then can connect all the dots because you see it differently. You hear it differently.
Yeah. And there's, again, great song. I remember listening to this song. I don't remember how old I was when I first heard it, but I remember just loving the lyrics and loving the flow of the song and, really spoke to me as a teenager.
Good so, minor key, man.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. Would love to hear from you. Sorry seems to be the hardest word by Elton John. I would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EW10.
Some percussion in the room.
That is awesome. Oh, that is funky. That is a great summer song right there.
That's one of those. So as we're talking about Elton John tonight, one of the cool things seeing him as many times as I have, Ray Cooper, who is like the ultimate percussionist, who's played with Clapton, who's played with Elton for years. It's just one of the coolest things because, like, mallets are flying over his bald head and he's, like, all into it. And he's just got this little bitty space, right? Just a couple of, percussion things and just whatever he's playing, man. He is in it. Like, it is like a 30-piece drum set. It's amazing.
Oh, I love that. That is awesome. And the horns, man. Come on.
That's right. You can see him swaying, right?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, that is so awesome.
There's your Viber Slap again.
Yep, there. Yeah, that's right. Two songs in a row.
The official instrument of Beacon of Truth now.
Yeah.
We use that more often than not. And other shows have their, first-time callers, they have their bell. We need a Viber Slap for the studio for our first-time callers.
Oh, that'd be fun. They'd love that. I'm Deacon Halberg, Sirius listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at the song Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John. And, you know, this song evokes, well, when it's connected to our faith, you know, times where we've found it hard to say sorry when we've hurt someone, or found it difficult to give forgiveness to someone who has hurt us. You know, so would love to hear from you, your thoughts about the song. Maybe you have some good memories about the song, or maybe, again, how you've been able to forgive or to give forgiveness when you've hurt someone. Would love to hear how you were able to do that. Within context of this beautiful song, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John, on his Beacon of Truth playlist episode. Give us a call. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, a big shout out to our friends in Joplin, Missouri, as you have helped to celebrate with us 11 years with an EWTN radio partner, KFSS, as St. Peter the Apostle Church, with Steve and his crew there have been doing their part. And of course, because of your financial support, you're keeping Catholic radio strong. So let's go 11 more as we continue to celebrate with them today, KFSS and EWTN radio.
All right, my friends, Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're going to walk through the lyrics for Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John, released back in 1976. A beautiful song about relationships that fall apart. And so I would love to hear from you today. When have you found it hard to say sorry? And what gave you the courage to finally say that you were sorry? Maybe you're still working through it right now. Mm-hmm. You're still working through a heartbreak. You're still working through a hurt, whether that's with a spouse, whether that's with a friend, whether that's with a child, a son or a daughter, whether it's with a loved one. You know, when have you found it hard to say that you were sorry and even to receive forgiveness yourself? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't forget, you can always text us your questions, 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name and how you're calling, and followed by your brief question. Remember that message, and data rates may apply.
Yeah, and as we look into the second verse, kind of almost a mirror, but even more so of the first verse, but what have I got to do to make you want me? What have I got to do to be heard? What do I say when it's all over, when sorry seems to be the hardest word? And there's something, and it's weird, things that live rent-free in my head, so just be careful where we go sometimes. But there was an episode of Happy Days where Fonzie had to admit that he was wrong, and he couldn't say he would like slowly try to get it out of his mouth. And I think we feel the weight of that. We've been in those relationships when we're waiting, like you're sitting in front of someone waiting for them to apologize, and they're just not there, or they don't see that they've done anything wrong. And nothing's worse than the I'm sorry, but, because then it negates the sorry. Like, you're not really sorry. You're sorry that I'm hurt, but you're not sorry for what you did to hurt me. And to me, that's the part that I feel like a lot of times when we feel wronged by so many people, it's hard sometimes to lean in. I've had it hard time to lean into God, go, Lord, I have these people in my life who seem to not see me. They seem like, are these the people that I'm supposed to have in my life? Are you trying to gut them out because you need a new, you know, group of community around me? Like, what is happening? So we, again, when we put those human characteristics on God, we oftentimes overlap them in such a way that keeps us from him. And then when we're not getting the apologies we deserve or that we hope for, I don't know that deserve is the right word, but that we hope for, or we can't bring ourselves to apologize or see our wrongdoings in situations, it's by putting God in a place of humanistic quality, and he's so much more than that. The supernatural side of that is hard for us to see.
Yeah, that's so true. And a couple of thoughts here. You know, Jesus says you have to forgive from the heart.
Yeah.
That means you have to mean it.
Right.
You know, and remember, that is so important. And in our Father, he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. That means our Father in heaven will only forgive us to the extent that we're willing to forgive others from the heart. That means we have to mean it. Man, that is difficult.
Yeah.
But that's the challenge of living our faith. We just can't pay lip service to it. We have to do the hard stuff. Jesus did the hard stuff. He picked up that cross and he walked all the way to Calvary and died on that cross so that we could have life, you know, open the door for us to have life forever.
Amen.
You know, and so, you know, we have to, again, pick up our cross, Jesus says, and follow him. So we have to say, you know, we have to get to a point, I mean, because every person is different, you know, emotionally, spiritually different place. So we you know, should pray to get to a point where we can say that we're sorry. And even though it's hard, like sorry seems to be the hardest word, it's still going to be hard, but it's so very necessary.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear from you today. Sorry seems to be the hardest word on this Beacon of Truth playlist episode. When have you found it difficult to say you're sorry? Or how did you get to a point where you finally were able to say you're sorry or ask forgiveness from someone for yourself? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Katie is calling from Montana, listening on KSMZ. Katie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Great to have you with us today.
Well, I've never done a call-in, so I'm not sure do I just tell you what my issue is?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I was taking care of elderly parents for 5 years with dementia, and I have a brother about 30 miles away, and I'd asked him for help because I was just getting burnt out. He never had time, and he never gave me excuses. He just didn't show up, and I got very angry with him, and I was very upset. He said things to my daughter that he shouldn't have said, and it was horrible. And then the worst thing that could happened. He suddenly died, and I lost both parents, all of that in 6 months. And I feel horrible because he had complications with diabetes that I knew nothing about, that he didn't share it with me. So I just feel overwhelmed with the grief and the fact that I never said I was sorry, that I was angry at him, and that you know, it was all something we could have worked out. And how do I get past that? Every morning I wake up and it's just this horrible feeling that he passed away just hating me.
Yeah, that's a difficult place to be in, Kathy. You know, no one wants to live life with regrets, but sometimes we do. You know, sometimes we put things off. You know, oh yeah, I'll talk to them. Oh yeah, I'll figure it out later, kind of a thing. And then later never happens because, again, as in your case, your brother dies, and so with that tension between the two of you. And so there is something you can do about that. So first of all, pray for the repose of his soul, for sure. You know, you should be praying for his soul. I mean, I pray for my parents since I lost both my mom in 09 and my dad in 16. And I pray for them every single day. I pray for the repose of their souls. And so remember your brother in your prayers, for sure. And also, if you go before the Lord in Eucharistic adoration, just say, you know, Lord, you know, I don't want to have, you know, my brother died and I, you know, you to give us the Our Father, that beautiful prayer. We said, you know, we have to forgive others, you know, and you'll forgive us. So please, you know, forgive me for not reaching out to my brother and not healing. But Lord, you are the divine physician. You are the one that can bring healing. You know, my brother is in a place of purgatory, or, you know, we don't know, obviously we don't know the state of his soul, only God does, but he could be in a place where, you know, where your prayers may be able to help him. You know, you weren't able to reconcile with him, you know, before he died, you know, but you can help him now. by the power of your prayers, that's for sure. You know, and having a father say a mass for him, you know, I think would be a beautiful thing as well. And even going to the gravesite, you know, if your brother doesn't live too far from you, you know, go to visit his grave and just, you know, talk to him and say, you know, look, you know, we couldn't get this thing fixed. I just want to let you know, I wasn't able to tell you when we were together, but I want to tell you now that I love you and that I'm sorry. And that I wish that I could have said, I want to say to you now what I wish I would have said to you while you were still here, and just pour out your heart to him, you know. Again, we said, well, he's dead, but you know what, you know, the way you get to Jesus is through death, you know. So hopefully, again, your brother's in a place where your prayers will be able to help him, and so I would strongly encourage that.
Well, thank you for the recommendations. I definitely will do all of them. Thank you.
And please know that we're praying for you as well, and for the repose of soul of your parents and your brother. I know that's difficult, but I'm so grateful, Kathy, that you called in today. And again, I'll be praying. I'm sure all our listeners will be praying for you as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You are most welcome, and God bless you. And we'd love to hear from you today on this Beacon of Truth playlist episode, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John. We'd love to hear about your experience of, I mean, maybe finding it difficult to say that you're sorry, receiving forgiveness from someone else. You know, because, I mean, sometimes our emotions, our humanity gets in the way of putting on that mind of Christ and forgiving with the heart of Christ. Would love to hear your experience today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
You know, Kathy brings up a good point as we talk about this song, because the very next portion is, it's sad, so sad, a sad, sad situation. And it's getting more and more absurd. And oftentimes, especially when it's a situation like this, I've had the same thing where you have, you know, animosity or whatever, and you never got to say, I'm sorry, and now they're gone. And, you know, I've had, you know, Christian counselors walk me through writing letters, you know, of the things I'd wish they said to me and then the things I wish I'd said to them. And just to get it out is very therapeutic, but also it's very much a prayer. A very worshipful moment of, Lord, you hear my heart. So as you were saying, you know, the heart is where we can get to God through death, through our words, through our prayers, through our worship. And he hears them. He knows them. And if anything, if that person, if you weren't close enough to them to know where their soul is, if their moment with Christ comes, they'll hear those words. They'll realize that you've said all the things that need to be said. And the thing that I think I look most forward to about heaven is the fact that there is no, you know, animosity. There is no anger. There is no hatred. There is no need to say, I'm sorry. It's a, we got it wrong, but we made it. We're here. We have eternity to now just love each other without any conditions.
Yeah, and we got to practice that unconditional love here on earth. That's the hard part.
Right.
You know, because we have to love with that same love of Jesus Christ. You know, June is the month of Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a beautiful reminder this month particularly that we need to love every single person totally, completely, unconditionally with the love and the heart of Jesus. And when we're angry or hurt, it's like the song says, sometimes sorry can be the hardest word.
Yeah.
And would love to hear from you today on this Beacon of Truth playlist episode, walking through the Elton John song, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word. I want to hear about times when it's difficult for you to say that you're sorry, it's hard for you to forgive or to receive forgiveness. 833-288-3EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Marie is calling from Texas, listening online. Marie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi.
Hello.
Listen, I know that everybody is not perfect, and I wasn't perfect, but on my last two jobs, I didn't know that my mother was trying to get me friends with people that I had once knew. She didn't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls tried so hard to get me to like her, and I was working for the government, And I didn't know, you know, I'm thinking, well, this is a job that I really need to concentrate on. And she was really trying to get me a Leica. She was probably going to help me with my college work, too. But I didn't know this at the time, and my mother never explained that to me. And then the second job I went on, I met somebody else who was once in my life, who I was introduced to. And this girl here, she's very smart. Her initials is ES. She is very smart, and she don't need too many friends because she's very smart. And I wish I wouldn't have been a little racist. Well, I'm not racist, but I was trying to be a little funny, but I wasn't funny. And that's how I lost my job. But I am sorry about it. And I said things that made her upset, and I really didn't mean to.
So have you had an opportunity to make amends with
the people? Trying to meet people on the job to be friends with.
Yeah, yeah. And but you've never had an opportunity so far to be able to see them again and say, you know, that you're sorry for how you spoke with them, how you treated them?
No, I never did.
Okay. Well, Marie, you know, first of all, I'm so grateful to God to hear that you've come to a point where you've realized that, you know what, I was wrong. That's so hard for us to say sometimes that, you know, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. But you've come to that beautiful realization with the humble heart of Jesus. You've come to realize, you know what? Or sometimes, you know what happens, Marie? We mature spiritually and we change over time. And so the person you were, you know, a few years ago is not the same person you are now because you're in a different place in your walk with Jesus, you know? And so what I would encourage you to do is to, if it's possible, to seek those people out and just tell them, you know, if you can't do it in person, maybe email or something, but just, you know what? When I was working with you, you know, I treated you in a certain way. I said certain things. I shouldn't have done that. I just want to let you know that I am sorry. I'm not trying to get my job back or anything. I just want, you know, from my heart as a person of faith, that I am sorry for the way that I treated you. And I'm going to let you know I'm not going to be treating anybody else the same way again. I think that would be a beautiful moment of healing for you, Marie.
Thank you, Deacon.
You're most welcome. And thank you for calling and sharing your heart with us. Mm. You know, it's so beautiful that you've come to that realization. And now that you're, you know, you want to seek the forgiveness that God wants to give each and every one of us.
Amen. Yeah. And I think, too, we have to give ourselves tons and tons of grace. I mean, she even started with, I'm not perfect. And I know that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing. We know we're not perfect. And it is hard to say I'm sorry when you know that it's an admittance of that I was truly wrong, or I was in a place much different than I am now. So if a year's gone by, or, you know, 6 years has gone by, and you look at it from a totally different lens, your relationship with God has improved. I want him to show me all of the places, you know, my dark places, the things that are my blind spots that I can't see, but others may have seen for a while. Well, that's ace. No, I don't want that. I want to be the best version of myself as Christ changes me daily. There's not, you know, I say all the time jokingly, I'm a man of many sides, but it's only because I want to be as diverse and vast as God needs me to be to accomplish his goal. How can I serve him if I'm not willing to surrender the things that I don't like about myself? And I obviously can't change without his help. But what I love is that the things that I like about me only enhance when I let him enhance me, you know, rather than thinking, well, if I let God change me, then I might become a person I don't want to be around. Well, no, that's why would he do that? You know?
Yeah. Well, we should be striving to allow people to see Christ in us.
Right.
You know, and that because we're all works in progress. That's for sure.
Amen.
I'm Deacon Harold Brick-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. We have a Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're walking through Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word by Elton John, and would love to hear from you times where you found it hard to say that you were sorry or to ask forgiveness from others. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mark is calling from Montana, listening on Billings Catholic Radio. Mark, Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you.
Yes, great to hear from you today, Mark. Yeah, go right ahead.
So my question or statement is that I had to come to the point of forgiving my father anyway at this point. We hadn't had contact and I had a very rough upbringing, and my parents never asked for forgiveness, and that rather upset me. But I came to the point after no communication with my biological father. Now I know my father, Jesus in heaven, is my heavenly father, and I don't need a relationship, but I actually forgave him, and I asked for his forgiveness for disliking or even saying that I hated him all my life because of the household that I grew up in. It was mental, physical, and sexual abuse. And I don't know if I feel like that is enough. I mean, I have a problem with forgiving myself. So it's hard for me to actually forgive in my heart anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the things that happen sometimes, Mark. The hardest person often to forgive is yourself, you know? So you said you spoke to your father about forgiveness, or you haven't yet?
I texted him.
Oh, you texted him?
No, I texted him probably over 4 years ago. Yes. He now has a grandson. I won't even know if my parents are dead or alive. Because I shut everyone in my family from all social media and blocked their phone numbers so that they can't contact me. Just because I don't feel that the healthy relationships or situations with any of them. He sent me a picture of his grandson, and it really upset me because I look back when I was that age and what I went through, and I was pretty scared. And it was actually suggested by, I'm not sure who, probably a counselor in the VA that I contact, Child Protective Services. Because I felt that the grandson might go through what I went through.
Yeah. That is a incredibly, incredibly difficult situation to be in. And, definitely praying. But here's the thing. If you're still texting, one thing that I think would help as far as you forgiving yourself is to say, because look, you weren't in control of what happened to you. But often, as kids, we blame ourselves, although there's nothing that we could have done, but we still blame ourselves for that. But to text your dad and say, I forgive you I want you to forgive me for how I felt, how I've been feeling about you. I mean, what I'm asking, Mark, is a very, very difficult thing. You're not asking him to forgive. You're saying you want him to forgive you for how you feel about him, the hatred that you feel. Because once you're able to give that over to Jesus and just release that, I think you'll be able to start to find the peace and the healing that Jesus Christ so desperately wants to give to you and to in your heart, so you can forgive yourself. What a beautiful call. Pat in Pennsylvania, I'm sure you hear the music. We won't be able to get to your call. He said Father Aylar was told to pray for his mother 10 years after she died. And you can do that. You can pray for those who have died and ask for forgiveness then as well. All right. Well, tomorrow, Word of God Wednesday, break open the God's Word for the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. Until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.